this morning is going to be a little bit different, and I am here for it. I'm excited. So I'm going to read our passage of Scripture, which is taking us through the season of Lent. We're doing, within our series on prayer, we are doing a series on the Lord's Prayer, in which we are considering each line and what that means. And this invitation, this prayer that we have, as you heard me say last week, is not just about memorization. It's not just about being able to say it with Emily when she leads us in that prayer up front. It is not just about rote memorization and repetition. But it is an invitation to discipleship. It is a prayer that if we really consider those words and if we pray them like we mean it, then it is about formation. It is about giving God license to change us and make us more like his son Jesus. And so I love that we're taking the time to really stretch this out and consider what each part of this prayer means. So this morning, we are considering this line, thy kingdom come, or your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm going to read our passage from Luke and then read the piece in Matthew's gospel that says that specifically. And then I'm going to invite Ben Fitzgerald, our youth director, and maybe I don't know who you bring. Emily, I don't know if you're coming up here too. Our youth ministry team to come up, and then they have some friends that they're going to invite up, some of our youth who want to share how they experienced last weekend on Winter Weekend, which you all were so faithful to pray for and support, but how they experienced the coming of God's kingdom in a real and powerful way. And then I just have a few words that I want to share, and we'll close, and then we'll get to come to the table together. So testimony, so word, testimony, some more word, and then we get to gather around the table together and feast and be reminded of the one who makes the coming of this kingdom possible. Sound good? Okay, I got one thumbs up and a few woohoos. So, you're here. So here we go. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And Jesus' attention, to carve out time and space for prayer. What an invitation and a challenge for us. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Do we approach the Lord with shameless audacity? What a beautiful challenge and invitation. And then again, from Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, in answering this question, Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done. All right, Ben, I want to invite you, you guys to come up, and whoever you're bringing with you, and excited for what the way that you're going to help preach the sermon this morning.
I'm going to go ahead, and if you are coming up to share, and if you are a youth leader of any kind on Winter Weekend, y'all feel free to come up and stand behind these folks. Okay. So we had last week the opportunity to go to Doe River Gorge. It's a camp in Hampton, Tennessee, and we brought 64 students, 64 teenagers, and 18 adults. 82, is that math? So I said this in the early service. We got them there, and we brought them all back in one piece, so praise the Lord for that. But y'all, seriously, God showed up in such a powerful way. We started off, the thing that we kind of just right out the gate said on our Friday night worship talk is years ago when Vern was the youth director, we stopped calling these retreats because we didn't want, the idea was for us to be retreating from something, but instead running to something. So we made that a pretty strong point, and I think we ran to God this past weekend. And so we went through Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and we talked essentially all about how we were dead in our transgressions and sins. We had essentially created self-made tombs, but that through Jesus, God broke into each and every one of our tombs that we created and has made us alive in Christ. And we had some powerful experiences, and like I said, God was just simply in the room with us. We felt it, we saw it, we heard it. And I'm gonna let whoever wants to go first. I think you're right here, Zeke. Okay.
Guess I'm going first.
When you're speaking,
okay. Hey guys, my name's Zeke Walker. I'm a senior at Watauga this year. Wow. So what was even the question? just tell. So. I did not prepare anything to say, in case you were wondering, but I'm going to let God do the speaking. This past weekend was incredible. It was my fourth time going to Winter Weekend, and this was unlike any Winter Weekend I've ever been to. I think that's partially because it was my last, but also because I got the opportunity to see everyone younger than me experience the same thing I did 2 or 3, 4 years ago. And what was really interesting is that the passage that we were focusing on, Ephesians 2, it was the themes were super similar to some of the stuff we had done in the past winter weekends. So I got the opportunity to reflect on that. But kind of my God moment of the weekend was whenever I found out what passage we were reading. And I flipped open my Bible, which my Bible, I have no idea where I got it. It just appeared in my hands one day, and I wrote my name in it, and it's now mine. But someone had it before me. I don't know who it is. I don't know. Maybe at this church, maybe not. But the funny thing was, is that in Ephesians 2, start it as a after verse 1 or after verse 2, there's a heading in the Bible, and it says, made alive. And that phrase, made alive, was already circled and underlined in my Bible. I was like, okay, whoa. And as we were reading, I was just looking through, and the word made alive really spoke to me. And I could see that through the whole weekend. And the worship that happened and the games that we played, especially in, my friends and my family. My brother's also in youth. He's a freshman this year. But especially in, the willingness of everyone in the group to just pour out their heart. And it was something special. Vern has talked about in the Celtic tradition, these thin spaces where heaven comes down to earth and we find that heaven and earth. And I truly feel like that this was one of those places. And he said that so many times, it's ingrained in my head. But I feel like over the past week, there's already been things in my life that are changing. And I'm gonna cry. It's just incredible to see God's work, not just in those thin spaces. There's this analogy that I'm going to use because it helps me wrap my head around it. these experiences, like Winter Weekend, are often called mountaintop experiences. You go and you reach and you see God on the mountain in full, clear glory and beauty. And then you go back to life and you're off of the mountain and you're back in the valley. And someone told this to me my freshman year of high school, that the cool thing about these mountaintop experiences is that you're on top and it's beautiful and it's amazing. And you can see everything. And the reason you can see everything is because there's no trees, there's no growth, because the growth happens in the valleys. And I really am trying to grow in my faith and just pursue what God is calling me to do. And Winter Weekend is just such a big part of that. And I can't describe the feeling, how close God's presence is in a place like that. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. So I'm a big crier, so bear with me here. I'm already crying, so I'm not going to summarize the whole weekend because we would be here all day and I would be crying in front of you all day and I really don't want to do that. So I'm just going to share with you some of my biggest prayers that I saw were answered last weekend. My prayer was that everyone there could find God in some way. And we had one worship night that I truly think that was accomplished and answered. And it was just incredible to see people who I've never even met before. We all came together and we prayed over each other and it didn't matter who it was. We just let the Lord lead us and we were praying over each other, loving on each other. And we really just showed what fellowship is all about, and I thought that was really amazing. My biggest prayer for the weekend was actually for my small group in specific. These ladies, I've been with them for, I think it's like six years now, and it's, they are my best friends. We started off with, we just knew each other. We were all acquaintances. Hey, Bailey. we were all friends. But now we are best friends. We are in the same friend group at school. We go to all the things together. We do everything together. And my biggest prayer was for us to go off to college, which is really scary and really hard to all part ways. But my prayer was that we would all be able to do it confidently in Christ, knowing that our identity could be in Christ. And I think that through conversation and through some arguments and through prayer and talking to each other, that I can confidently say that I am able to transfer into a time of fear. Instead of being in fear, I can use my faith, and I can be grounded in my faith and confidently go into college as a woman of God who is going to be on fire for God. And I think that I can say that my small group will do the same thing, whether they're ready or not. And I just think it's amazing that we're going to be able to stay connected because we love each other so much and be able to share our identity to people in college without having fear about being judged because
we knew we were supposed to be. And I can confidently say that this church is 1,000% where I'm supposed to be right now. And on Winter Weekend, that's just one of my favorite weekends ever. And I feel like all the 6 years that I've been in this church, I've been able to see our youth group specifically grow so much. And I might be biased because my small group has gotten really, really close recently and really rooted in God. But I feel like as the years have gone on, our youth group in general has just become an even stronger place of God's works. And I can just see so clearly through every single small group leader and Ben and Emily that I saw on Winter Weekend. I could just see all of the love and joy that God has placed in them and the passion that he has given them for this and allowing us to like take to go to these places. And mine is kind of similar to Annie's because we are very similar. But something that I could take away from Winter Weekend was I've always had my church friends and my school friends and my family friends. And I feel like I've always been someone who really loves talking to people, but I also have very different groups. And I feel like something that I finally got to just grasp onto from Winter Weekend is truly allowing myself to go into every single situation and place when I meet new people, being so rooted in Christ and having that strong identity. And that's just something that's really new for me because although my faith has grown so much in the last few years specifically, I feel like it's a whole new level this year because I'm also going off to college next year and I'm going to a school where I only know one person in the entire school. And I know that I'm going to be meeting so many new people, but I feel so much more confident now because I know that I'm going in fully. I know that my identity is fully in Christ, and it's not just one part of me, it is all of me. And Winter Weekend has been such an amazing experience because it has just showed me that I'm not alone and that I know so many other people who are also going to go spread the love of Jesus at all the different schools or places that we end up at next year. And I'm so thankful for my church family.
I'm Lily, and I'm a sophomore at Watauga. And I think Winter Weekend is one of the hardest things to explain to people just because of, like, it's not something you can, like, really say. It's something you have to feel. Like, the feelings you get from being there is, like, unlike anything I've ever experienced. And it's truly, like, a God moment, and you can tell he's there the entire weekend. And this year, I came in looking for my prayers to be answered because I was feeling, like, before I'd felt really empty, and I felt like no matter how much I looked for God or, like, pursued him, he just, like, wasn't there, and I couldn't do anything that made me feel him. But on our last worship night, Ben gave the chance for anyone who wanted prayers to sit down and people would pray over them. And as people started praying over me, I just almost felt this like weight lift off of my shoulders. And I said this to Heather, but one thing that hit me during that prayer was like Jesus died for us. And you can say that so many times and you can hear it so many times, but it doesn't hit until it hits. And it, like, hit me in that moment that I'm here because he loved me, and he died just for, like, this one opportunity. If one person would have been saved, he would have done it. And, like, that's just really amazing to me. And coming off of the weekend, I was, like, when I was given the opportunity to speak, I was trying to think about what I was going to say, and I couldn't really pinpoint it until a couple days ago when I realized I just, like, I feel content. Like, there's nothing I need in this world. Like, I could be fine just how I am right now. Like, I don't need anything but Jesus. And that's something that I've never felt before. And I feel like that's how God worked in my heart, is he didn't necessarily speak to me through, like, an action or words. Like, I didn't necessarily hear his voice. But he spoke to me just through, like, this a feeling. And I can tell it's him because it's, like, nothing I've ever felt before. And it's not anything that can come from this world because it's something that doesn't need this world. And I just think that was really powerful.
I'm Emerson Curley. I'm in eighth grade, and this is my first year at youth. I remember, like, a year ago, I didn't believe in Jesus, and I didn't want to. And I was struggling, and I didn't know why. And then I had a friend tell me to just try reading the Bible. And I was, like, fully expecting to, like, read a verse and then be bored. But, like, that did not happen at all. I, like, completely fell in love with the unconditional love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And I'm just, like, so happy that I went to Jesus. And I thought that, like, I was saved, but I feel like it wasn't until I joined youth and specifically went to Winter Weekend, that I was like fully saved. I remember the Saturday night before we left, we had the opportunity to sit down and be prayed over, and I was fully not expecting to sit down and be prayed over. I was ready to like pray for anyone else. But then the next thing I knew, I was sitting down sobbing into my hands, and I was being prayed over by so many people, and it was just so powerful, and like, I don't know, I just felt so free. And I remember we were singing a song called I Surrender by Ryan Ellis, and I remember we were singing the lyrics, "Here's my heart, take it, it's yours," over and over, and I feel like I was like visualizing giving my life and like full control to Jesus in that moment, and I feel like that's when I like fully gave my heart to Jesus, and yeah, that's, I feel like that's when I was saved.
Okay, my name's Isla Freed. I am, along with these guys, also a senior in high school this year, which is so much harder than expected. And this year, I think that something that just is hard for me as a person is change. And right now, I feel like, really starting my senior year, like I was kind of in control of everything around me. And on top of all the things that I was doing, schoolwork didn't feel super hard anymore. And the sports I was in are very regular. And coming to church and youth, it all was, I mean, it's something I've been practicing for 4 years. And come like Christmas time and actually getting real about where we're all leaving next year, I have really been struggling with this feeling of just like not being in control of where I'm going next year, and just this like really intrinsic want to just like keep everything how it is right now, because I really am super blessed. Like, I love my life. I love the people I'm surrounded with. And at Winter Weekend, we were all on our last night of worship standing around. Gracie and Barrett were playing, and we were singing the lyrics, "There's nothing I hold on to." And I was holding on to like all of the friends that have just fully embraced and loved me over the last 6 years in my small group, and the girls that I care about so much with my whole heart. And I was looking across the room at my two brothers, who I get to see starting the whole journey that brought me from being this inconfident person and not knowing what my faith was into this being what centers my life. And I looked across the room at, yeah, my brothers back there, Ezra and Asa, and I saw them both crying back at me while we were all singing, "There's nothing I hold on to." And I left this weekend, last weekend, with this confusion and weight on my heart that how am I supposed to go into college when there is so much that I want to hold on to? I want to hold on to my leaders that are here. I want to come here to church every week. I want to keep singing the songs on the stage. I want to hold on to my best friends in the whole world. I want to hold on to my brothers and my family. Because this church and this youth group is where I've really found my home. And I've just been, and I feel like everyone here can say the same, that I have found like people who are going to love me every single day, people who I don't want to let go of next year. And I came to this realization that while we were singing, "There's nothing I hold on to," the thing that I can hold on to is my faith, and the thing that I can hold on to is God. And I think that what I was separating in my mind is that this group and my brothers and my family, that those are different things, that I can't hold on to these people because they're worldly. But that's not true, because God worked through them to reach me, and I reached my faith through the people that are in this church, and I get to see that.
Woo! Ben and I just want to thank y'all that we, the leaders, we get to witness this. We get to be there for it. We get to watch them love the Lord, discover the Lord. What a gift that is. So thank you for walking alongside us, supporting us, praying over us. If you still have this list of names, we encourage you to keep praying over them. Because as Zeke mentioned, this is where the growing takes place now. So please continue to be in prayer for them. And just thank you for being this church home that they get to claim, that we get to claim. Enables us to do things like winter weekend.
Yeah, and the thing is, God showed up for us in this weekend that we got to have, and this is, you know, a handful of the multitudes of students that got to experience God, but God doesn't just hang out in Doe River Gorge in Hampton, Tennessee. God is also here. And God will continue to be with us here. And this morning, talking about the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven, we got to see that. So again, thank you. And Gracie and Barrett, y'all didn't come up, but you totally should have. They led us in worship, and it was so thankful for y'all. I'm going to pray, and then, yeah, let's bow our heads. Lord God, I'm so thankful. So thankful for the ability to just take aside the world, and that you gave us Jesus. I thank you that you are continuously, daily making us alive, even when we are in our deadened places. I pray that your kingdom continues to touch down on earth, God, and that we get to see you day in and day out, Lord. Be with us, continue to be with us in this time of worship, and I just pray that you allow us to feel your Holy Spirit and be renewed daily, as it says in your scripture. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Emily, I was waiting for Maverick to, he can just come up and preach if he wants. He's got stuff to say. Well, I've never started a sermon at 12:04. But I, to be honest, don't have a whole lot to say. I know that that might come as a surprise. But are we good for just a few more minutes? All right. Not like a Vern few minutes, like actual just a few more minutes. Because I think that when we talk about and consider this part of the Lord's Prayer, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we can ask questions about what that looks like, or we can hear from those who have experienced it, which is why I felt like this was an important thing for us to do. Because it reminds us that anytime someone says yes to life in Jesus, the kingdom is here. Anytime we pray for someone, Polly, who is near the end of their life and pray that they would come to know the Lord, you doing that is the kingdom at hand. Because to pray that prayer is essentially to pray a prayer of intercession, and to intercede for others is to welcome them, whether they know it or not, into a place of compassion within us that exists only because we have experienced the love of a compassionate God, because compassion is always outward facing. It is never toward self. It is always to face out. And so to pray that prayer is, I'm reminded as you were lifting her up, I'm reminded of the thief on the cross who all he had was a dying breath, and that's all it took. In that moment, his request, would you just remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus' response is, I promise you, today you will be with me in paradise. And that's all it took. And sometimes, in someone's journey, that's the moment when it will happen. But for others, it is to say yes to that invitation early on and then to get to spend one's life on behalf of the work of making the kingdom real on this earth. For Jesus to stand up in Luke 4 and read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. The prophet that, I mean, all of the prophets and the work that they did were important, but in many ways, Isaiah stands above the rest because of the way that he pointed to Jesus, because of the way that God used him and gave him a picture of what was to come to point to Jesus. And he reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he says, I have come to set the prisoners free. I've come to restore sight to the blind. I've come to release the captives. And he speaks of these things that Isaiah wrote about, that the Messiah would do. And Jesus rolls up the scroll, hands it back to the attendant, and says, today this is fulfilled in your hearing, and sits back down. And that was at the beginning of his ministry. And friends, Jesus is willing to take on the task of making the kingdom of God real on this earth. Every single one of us is here today because he was willing to stay the course. I talked with our college Sunday school class this morning about the greatest example that we have of this desire to see the kingdom made real on this earth and the tension that exists. Your kingdom come, your will be done, is to say, not mine, but yours. And this picture that we have of Jesus praying this prayer in the garden. And I ask this question to our students. Imagine, if you will, as we consider what it means to pray this prayer. It is a prayer of surrender. It is a prayer that acknowledges the weakness, the frailty, the inability to fulfill, the over-promising and under-delivering of every single kingdom on this earth. To pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, is to make a statement about effortless, like breathing. But all along the way, we are learning what it means to submit and surrender our will. So imagine, if you will, to do this exercise, if you were to get to the end of this week, or if you were to think back over your last week, hold the things that you're praying, but to trust that as you are praying, if there is anything about that prayer that God's like, ooh, I hear you and I love you because you're mine, but I love you so much, I'm not going to answer that prayer the way that you're asking. Because ultimately that will lead you away from me and not closer to me. So ask, pray, but allow God the opportunity to work those things out. Come back to Jesus. If the prayer that Jesus prayed, Father, take this cup from me. And many scholars believe that what he's referring to is the cup that he is about to drink, what he is about to do in going to the cross. In the Old Testament, God's wrath, it was referred to the cup of God's wrath that would be poured out on humanity. That was the cup for Jesus to drink, that he would take that on so that we don't have to. And rather than stopping that prayer there, there's a little punctuation mark, and then Jesus says, yet not what I will, but what you will. I so badly want to see your kingdom come, Father, that I'm willing to walk through what you have called me here to do. What if God had answered that prayer? What if the Father, out of love for the Son, and not wanting to see him suffer, answered that prayer and took that cup from him? History would be different. The world would be different. We would have no hope. And yet, because Jesus was willing ultimately to say, God, not what I want, but what you want. I want what you want. The heart of the Father is that all would know, that all would get to experience the opportunity of life as it was meant to be lived. Life and life to the full, as Jesus says in John 10:10. And so as we consider what it means to pray this prayer, I want to invite you, as you are learning to pray that, as you are learning to pray the way that Jesus taught us, to also begin to ask, God, would you help me to see where your kingdom is breaking in? because he will be faithful to reveal that. That we can do more of those things, that we can lean more deeply into those things, that we can walk more faithfully in the ways that are reflective of the kingdom of God, knowing that all the while we live in this tension of being caught and having these kingdoms of our own that we want to see come to bear on this earth, but knowing that ultimately those kingdoms don't stand. I'm going to close with this one thought, and then we'll get to come and feast together at the table as a reminder throughout the season of Lent, as a reminder of what Jesus was willing to do so that the kingdom of God might become real to us on this earth, and that we might find in the bread and the cup both our invitation into it and then that which will sustain us in the work that we are doing in our part. But often Jesus refers to, and when he's talking about the kingdom, there are parables that in one place he's talking about the kingdom like a lost coin, right? And a woman who loses the coin lights a lamp and searches the house, like searches everywhere to find the lost coin because that is the thing of most value to her. And when you think about something you've lost in your life, that becomes the most valuable thing to you. The things that are not lost, the things that you already possess, those don't really have the same kind of value to you as the thing which you have lost. Like I heard Sarah say this about Judd recently, and I'm like, oh my gosh, my life is explained. Like I've never thought about it this way. And she said, when Judd sets something down, it ceases to exist. I'm like, that's 100% me. The moment I set a thing down, it's gone. I don't even know that it exists until I'm asking for it. My wife is like, have you looked for it? And I'm like, yes, I looked for it. She's like, did you dude look for it or did you actually look for it? I dude looked for it, 100%, I confess. But when we lose a thing, all of a sudden that thing becomes the most valuable to us. We're less concerned about the things that we already have and become more concerned about the thing that we have lost. Friends, if we are to approach and consider the kingdom in that way, that there is so much that we have, and yet there is a kingdom that has come and is already coming, but we're not there yet because Christ has not yet returned. What if that thing of value in our lives became that thing that Jesus promises has drawn near? And yet promises is still coming, and that we get to be a part of seeking, and that we get to be a part of walking in. May we begin to have such a burden on us. May we begin to be burdened by those who don't yet know that there's an invitation into a kingdom that will not fail, that will not fall, that will last forever, and that they have a seat at the banquet table in that kingdom, that they are invited to be a part of the wedding banquet of the Lamb when Jesus and his church, the bride and the bridegroom, are reunited and will live and exist in fellowship and relationship and eternity, and for eternity, for time to come beyond measure. What if that becomes the most important thing to us? What if we begin to hold our own kingdoms up and say, I'm going to need you to examine this in light of your kingdom, God. I'm going to need you to be honest about this kingdom that I am trying to establish. Is it worth me continuing to pursue, or do you have something else of greater value and of greater worth for me to pursue? Friends, the kingdom is breaking in all around us. May we have eyes to see. And may we, as we learn to pray this prayer, be willing to examine our own lives in light of this kingdom. God, not my will, but yours. If we individually, if we as a church took seriously the invitation to pray that prayer and then to live into the way that that prayer is responded to, things will change. Our lives will change. This community will change. The world around us will change. That is the call of the church and is the invitation to you. And if you're in a place this morning where you're like, I'm not even sure if I'm a part of this kingdom, know that the invitation stands for you to say yes to it. You just heard from several of our youth, several of our students who have said yes to the invitation to be a part of that kingdom. The only thing that God asks is that you acknowledge that everything that you tried to build for yourself, there's no life in it, and that you want the life that he offers and that he promises. Amen. Amen.